The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Intermittent fasting. So Sarah Keogh, the dietitian and founder of Eat Well, is with me. Sarah, for the uninitiated, what is intermittent fasting?
It's been around a while, but I think if what it really comes down to is often what's called time-restricted eating. So it's where you put limits on when you can and can't eat with the aim of reducing your calories. So there's two main types. There's what we call the 5-2, which is where you would eat normally for 5 days a week and then fast for 2 days a week. And the other more popular one is what's often called the 16-8, which is where you would fast for 16 hours a day and eat for 8 hours a day.
And in that eight-hour window, the idea is you would eat what you would normally eat in that eight-hour window, is it? If it's reducing the calorie intake, I guess you're not squeezing everything into a smaller time frame, are you?
Well, it depends on the person. So it works.
Because I'm definitely that person, Sarah.
That's the thing. What you have are the, you know, someone who kind of says, well, you know, I do 16-8, maybe I'll skip breakfast in the morning, just have lunch and dinner, and then I absolutely do not eat after, you know, 7 o'clock at night. So often what we find is that for a lot of people, that does reduce their eating if you kind of keep it within normal limits. If what you do during the 8 hours is plow through, you know, 15 packets of biscuits and all the rest, it's probably not going to work. but if you're kind of eating sort of your normal sort of lunch, dinner, whatever way you want to do it, we know that it does help reduce calories in the same way that, say, doing smaller portion sizes or doing a low-fat diet or something like that kind of does.
So, you know, all of these people online who sell these diets based on some sort of caveman biology, that, you know, people would be out scavenging for food and they mightn't eat until lunchtime, and we reawaken that inner hunter-gatherer in us, and they were all ripped and muscly and they looked great. all that's nonsense. It's just about reducing calorie intake.
Totally. I mean, there's loads of studies on this because, you know, all the time there's a lot of research about, you know, is there one way of eating that's better than another and all the rest. And basically they've done loads of research comparing, say, the 5-2 to the 16-8 to just reducing calories. And across the board, the weight loss is the same. The difference is it suits some people. So some people prefer to do a smaller plate and, you know, maybe snack a bit less. Some people find it easier just to say, look, the kitchen is closed at 7 o'clock in the evening. You know, and that works. So, I mean, it's in terms of weight loss, it's no better than any other form of weight loss. It's no worse, you know, but it suits some people. So, you know, it can work for that.
And what about some of the other claims that are made about it that, you know, everything from it helping people kind of stave off the risk of diabetes to it lowering cholesterol to this idea that it even helps you think more clearly?
Again, the evidence doesn't support that as being any, like, you will see things like if you lose any kind of weight, your blood glucose levels can improve, but it doesn't matter whether you did it with fasting or not. You know, and I was at a fascinating conference in Aberdeen last year. There was just nothing big international conference about it. And it was the funniest one I've ever been at, because at the end of everything, whether they looked at diabetes, cholesterol, blood pressure, it was kind of like, yeah, and it didn't really do anything. And you're like, okay, well, that's interesting. So they all lost weight, but there was nothing special on. And that's something to knock it. If it works for someone, that's brilliant. And it does suit a lot of people. For that, but it's not any better than any other sort of weight loss methods that they've compared it to.
Have any of these studies looked on how people react in terms of eating behavior and eating patterns? So I joked about trying to squeeze all the calories in, but that's what I would do. If I'm away somewhere, say, and you're staying in a hotel and there's not breakfast and you're on the go early in the morning, if I realize, oh God, I haven't eaten breakfast, I would go into a field and I would kill a cow and eat it myself right there and then. I embrace the fact that I kind of have all these calories that I've got to fill. Is there evidence that people actually just consume calories elsewhere?
There's loads, and not just for intermittent fasting. I mean, there's huge studies on eating behavior, and it is, a lot of it is around perception. There's the person who thinks, well, I've eaten one packet of crisps, I might as well eat the rest of the six pack, and the other person who eats one packet of crisps and never thinks about it again. So all of those things are kind of,
you see,
you know,
Sarah, once you eat them, they're not there to tempt you anymore. That's the logic, you know. We'll eat these there and then they won't be there, you see.
Well, this is it. It's the people who clear the whole kitchen on a Friday because they're going to start a diet on Monday.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's each to their own, isn't it? We're all obsessed with this idea that there's some sort of hack out there that we can all buy into, but
I'm at this 30 years, and I would say to you, there is no one method that works for everybody. And as a dietitian, what I'd always be doing is working through what suits each person, what's going on in their life, how busy they are. You know, sometimes it's just basic lack of knowledge on nutrition, and you really are looking at portion sizes and stuff like that. You'd be amazed the amount of people who don't realize. You know, I'd look at people pouring oil into a salad and not realizing they put 1,000 calories or 4 bars of chocolate worth into it, and then they're thinking I'm having a healthy salad. You know, sometimes there is a piece on nutrition education, or as you say, that you don't actually have to go into a field and kill a whole cow because you miss breakfast, you know. This kind of idea. So it's, you know, smaller plate actually works. Plate sizes in Ireland are 3 inches bigger all around than they were in the 60s. You know, we're eating double the dinner today our parents ate, you know, and we're not exercising more. So there's a huge sort of education piece around that. I said, do you know what works really well though? I mean, the big place I see people putting on weight at the moment is that sitting on the couch watching TV in the evening after dinner. And they just crack open the crisp, open the chocolate. So if you actually stop eating at 7 o'clock, it knocks all of that
off. Well, I was going to say, actually, just for people who do intermittent fasting or they reduce, is there a pattern? Is there a prevailing pattern of when they, how am I, this, I'm sorry, I'm kind of stumbling over myself here. I'll start again. Those who are successful in terms of losing a bit of weight by reducing calorie intake, by, you know, having these windows during which they don't eat, is there a prevailing pattern where those windows occur? Is it skipping breakfast, or is it saying mostly, 7 o'clock, let's stop?
Most people are kind of skipping breakfast and then cutting off at 7 o'clock. And the main reason for that is if you get up in the morning, you're not always feeling hungry in the morning. So sometimes you can just have, you know, a little bit of time, you know, where you're not feeling hungry. Like the hardest thing about fasting is if you're actually hungry, it's very difficult to resist actual hunger, you know, for people. So if you kind of delay breakfast, and that's what a lot of people tend to do. Now, the issue there is that you miss a big opportunity for fiber. You miss, for a lot of people, opportunities for iron and some of the nutrients there. So if I'm working with someone and they are doing intermittent fasting, you know, we talk about, do you need to actually top up with some of your supplements and stuff like that? Because if you do miss an entire meal, you miss not just the calories of that meal, but all the other nutrition that's in there.
Sarah Keogh. Sarah, I suspect we'll be talking again when the next hack that people buy into rears its head, usually online these days. Sarah Keogh is a dietitian and founder of Eat Well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.